Okay. As Rabelais David always says, technology, you can't live with it, can't live without it. That's the problem.
Right.
Wonderful when it works. Okay, so a brief share Miss Hashem today, Daf Chof Amud Beis. Have a look on the fifth wide line. Chof on the base. V'chein hoya Rabbi Yehuda Omer. Rabbi Yehuda said, Gimel mitzvahs nitztavu Yisrael b'knisason la'aretz. Klal Yisrael were instructed to fulfill three mitzvahs upon their entry to Eretz Yisrael. Number one, lahamid lohem melech, to appoint for themselves a king. U'lahachris zarei shel Amalek, and to wipe out Amalek. V'livnos lohem beis habechira, and also to build for themselves a beis hamikdash. And we explained it must be in that order. First, you appoint a king, he then leads the charges, Klal Yisrael, to wipe out Amalek. Why is it critical that Amalek are wiped out before you build a Beis HaMikdash? And the answer is because Amalek represents the opposite of the Beis HaMikdash. What is Amalek all about? If we turn back to Parshas Beshalach, you'll all remember Klal Yisrael complain. And they are told, are you suggesting Ha'im Yesh Hashem b'kirbeinu im oyin? Are you doubting whether HaKadosh Baruch Hu is amongst you or not? And the next two words, Vayavay Amalek. So why did Amalek come when they doubted, as it were, whether HaKadosh Baruch Hu was with them? The answer is because Amalek, that is precisely the entire hashkafa of Amalek. The entire hashkafa of Amalek, they do not deny in the existence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Rather, Amalek's hashkafa is HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, but he's no longer involved in hashkacha protis. He doesn't run the world. Everything is just random. I think Larry pointed this out last week, that Amalek is gematria sofik, 240. And the reason is because that's their whole hashkafa. Everything is sofik, everything is random. Okay, so Haman wants to decide when to kill Klal Yisrael. What does he do? He does a lottery, a goyrel. It's all random, it's all haphazard, it's all mikra. It's all mikra. In fact, that was the lashon of the pasuk in Parshas Ki Tsetse. Kasher korcho baderech, korcho. So there's many explanations of that one word, but many explain korcho, again, lashon mikra. It's all happenstance. So they don't deny that HaKadosh Baruch Hu exists or that he created the world. They just claim that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not involved over here downstairs in this world. He's lofty. In fact, there's a pasuk in Tehillim, if we're going to continue the gematria theme, in Hallel, right? We all remember the pasuk in Hallel. Rom al kol goyim al hashamayim kavoda. What does Rom mean? Rom means lofty. Rom al kol goyim. Rom is also gematria 240, Resh Mem. That's referring to Amalek. Rom al kol goyim al hashamayim kavoda. They claim that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in the shamayim. Nothing to do with us. How does the next pasuk continue? We, however, claim, Mi kashem Elokeinu, our God is Hamashpili lirois bashomayim uba'aretz. So we very much claim that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not only this lofty, unconnected existence in heaven, but he's right over here, ba'aretz. That's the whole machloikas between the Hashkafa of Klal Yisrael and Hashkafa of Amalek. Well, therefore, we all understand, what is the mitzvah of building a Beis HaMikdash? The mitzvah is, as we all know, V'asuli mikdash v'shochanti v'seicham, and I will reside amongst them. That is the exact opposite of Amalek's whole outlook. As long as Amalek are around, you can't build a Beis HaMikdash because Amalek claimed that HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't reside amongst us, doesn't exist over here. It's all b'shamayim, he's Rom. What happens down here? It's all Sofik, it's all just lottery. So that's why the Gemara is telling us first you have to wipe out Amalek, and only then can you build the Beis HaMikdash. But as long as Amalek's Hashkafa is around in the world, that's an antithesis to the whole existence and the whole concept of the Beis HaMikdash. So Al Kaponim, that's what the Gemara is saying. First you appoint a king, then you wipe out Amalek, and then you build a Beis HaMikdash, says the Gemara. Reb Nahoirai Oimer. We've been discussing this mitzvah of appointing the king. Now, you'll remember that we mentioned last week, it's not entirely clear, is appointing a king a lechatchila or not a lechatchila? Because Shmuel Hanavi was approached by Klal Yisrael. They requested that he appoint for them a king, and he was very upset with them. And there's a whole discussion. Why was he upset with them? After all, this is a mitzvah sanctioned by the Torah. So have a look. Rav Naharai says, Loi Nemra Parsha Zu. This whole parsha of the appointing of a king was only ever said to Klal Yisrael, Ela Keneged Tarumoson. Was only ever sanctioned, this mitzvah was only ever given to Klal Yisrael in light of Klal Yisrael's complaints. Shenema, va'omarta osimo alai melech, because the Torah clearly introduces the mitzvah of appointing a king by saying, va'omarta, and you have said, appoint for us a king, meaning, unlike other mitzvahs, Klal Yisrael did not request a mitzvah of lulav, or tefillin, or Shabbos, or any other mitzvah. But over here, they requested, osimo alai melech, in response, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, here comes the mitzvah appointing the king. So Rav Naharai is suggesting that it's a very unique and very strange phenomena that the whole mitzvah of appointing a king was only ever given to Klal Yisrael in response to their complaint. If you have a look at Rashi, Rashi says, Loi nemra parasha zu, which parasha? Desoim tosim olecho melech, quote unquote. This pasuk of appointing for you a king was only ever given mishum mitzvah. Why was it given as a mitzvah? Elo keneged tarumosom. Only because Klal Yisrael would complain. Shegolui lefonov. Because it was revealed, HaKadosh Baruch Hu knew, she'asidim lehisraim alkach, that they were destined to complain about this, v'loimar, and to say, we also would like to be like the Goyim. This request was going to be forthcoming, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu obviously knows that this was going to be the case. Va'omarto asimo. What is asimo? Asimo, says Rashi, is in Loshon Osid, is in the future tense. So osimo means, will you please appoint for us a king? That's what it means. HaKadosh Baruch Hu knew that this request to appoint a king was going to be forthcoming, says Rashi, asidim atem loimar kein. This is something that you are destined in the future, you will request. So that's the Loshon of the Pasuk. The Loshon of the Pasuk is, it will be when you request. What do you mean when you request? Who says Klal Yisrael will ever request? The answer is, HaKadosh Baruch Hu knew that they're going to request a king, and that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as it were, preempted them and says, well, here comes the instruction on how to do it. So Rav Naharai is clearly suggesting, therefore, that the whole mitzvah of Minui Melech is therefore not a din lechatchila, even though now it's obviously become one of the Tariag mitzvahs, but it's only, as it were, HaKadosh Baruch Hu preempting the fact that they were going to request the appointment of a king. Of course, we would need to discover, we'll see whether the Gemara speaks about this, why indeed is it considered a bidyevet? I mean, why is it so bad to request a king? Is it because really you should view HaKadosh Baruch Hu as the king? Or is it from the fact that the Loshon of the request is, can we have a king like all other nations? Don't compare yourself to other nations. What exactly is this complaint which is not viewed very favorably by HaKadosh Baruch Hu? But let's keep going in the Gemara. Says the Gemara, Tanya, we have a braisa. Rebbe Loza Oimer, Zakenim Shebedoir, the elders of the generation. This is going back now to the times of Shmuel HaNavi, because they ultimately were the ones who did request this king. Again, we have to get our history clear, Rabbi Yisrael. It's in Parashas Shoftim, which we read 2 weeks ago, that the mitzvah of the Melech is recorded. Again, the Loshon of the Pasuk is, and it will be when you request, Osimo, can you please appoint a king? Then this is what you have to do. So What is that referring to? When did Klal Yisrael actually request a king? The answer is hundreds and hundreds of years later. That's what the Gemara is saying. That's what Rashi is pointing out. HaKadosh Baruch Hu knew that this request was going to be forthcoming. When was it? In the times of Shmuel HaNavi, which followed Klal Yisrael entering Eretz Yisrael. You had the period of Yeshua Ben Nun. You had the lengthy period, I think it's about 400 years of the Shoftim, after which Shmuel then was the Navi, and Klal Yisrael approached him and said, appoint a king. All of that is being foretold in the Pasuk in Shoftim. So now, when Klal Yisrael approached Shmuel HaNavi and they ask him, could you please appoint a king? Says the Gemara, the Zakenim Shebedor, the elders of the generation, Kahoigen Shoalu. What does that mean, Kahoigen Shoalu? They requested, what does it mean, Kahoigen? Appropriately. Their request was appropriate. Why? Says the Gemara, Shenemar Tnu Lanu Melech Leshofteinu. They said, give us a king who will judge us. Okay, that's a perfectly valid request. And that's not why Shmuel HaNavi got upset. Shmuel HaNavi did not get upset with the request of the Zakenim. Rather, says the Gemara, Avol Ameha Oretz. It was the lowly, ignorant people, Shebohem Kilkaloi. They were Mekalkal. They were the ones who messed things up. They requested a king in an inappropriate fashion. Why? What do they say? Shenemar V'hoyinu Gam Anachnu K'cholagoyim. They added these words, and let us be like all other nations. V'shofteinu Malkeinu V'yetzel Ofoneinu. And then the king can judge us and lead us. So there's nothing wrong in requesting that the king will judge, the king will lead. But it's those additional words when they said, let us have a king like all other nations. That was not the elder of the generation. Rather, that was the Ami Haaretz. And that was considered the inappropriate request. And that's why Shmuel HaNavi got upset. Have a look at Rashi. Towards the end of the narrow lines. Ami Haaretz Kilkuli. De'ilu Zakenim. Because when it came to the Zakenim, Shoaluhu, they asked L'shoiftam. They wanted a king to judge them. That's fine. V'lirdois hasarvonim shebohem, and to punish those who don't behave appropriately. That's a very, very valid request because that is the function of the king, ultimately to judge and to keep everybody along the straight and narrow. Aval ami ha'aretz, that was the problem. Ch'tolu alav milchamoyseinu. Sha'omru milchamteinu. Let him lead the charges and fight our wars. Rashi is telling you a tremendous chiddush. What exactly was the critical point of the Amoretz? So when I read the Gemara, I understood at first glance that the problem with their request is because they added, let us be like all other nations. That's not what Rashi says. Rashi said that was not the problem. The problem was, how did Klal Yisrael view the role, the function of the king? The elders viewed him as he's the one who's got to punish or judge and make sure everybody's over Hashem. That's a perfectly valid request. The Ami Haaretz says, no, we want a king to fight battles. That was not considered favorably. Now, I'm just wondering, Rabbi Yosef, do they point out in Art Scroll, why is that considered a non-valid type of request, the fact that they asked for a king who would lead the battle?
Yes, here, since they desired the king to lead them into war, a material concern, and not to perform the spiritual function of judging them, their request was improper. 28, Rashi.
Rashi. So Rashi is pointing out that to request that his job is to be the army general is a misunderstanding on the role of the king.
Rabbi, I want to. I'm in all due respect to Rav Yosef. I think he missed something very crucial that Art Scroll says here about this is that it's a lack of Amunah in Hashem that the king is going to. So I'll read it to you exactly. Rashi, Yad Rama, and Meiri at the request of the unlearned folk displayed a lack of trust in Hashem. God would protect them in wartime. Appointing the king as a mitzvah, God was nonetheless displeased with the nation's request because it was not advanced. In other words, the real problem with the war issue is that I'm the one who wins you the wars, not the king. So you're putting your trust in a king.
So it's not just an issue. But I think it's, I don't think it's machlokes. I think it could be a discussion how to learn what was the problem in requesting a king lead them to Mulchama. Is it because they're asking for mundane matters rather than spiritual matters? Or, as you point out, is it the fact that it's completely inappropriate? HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one who leads us to the war. If you're talking about who will judge us, yes, HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't judge us. We need a shofar, we need a pesach, we need a dayan. Okay, that's valid.
By the way, Rebbe, I don't understand one thing with this whole king this. I get it as far as Shaul's concerned, but didn't Hashem have David anointed from the very beginning as Melech HaDavid, Melech HaMashiach? He won wars, he was a gibor, he was this. And so how does this all fit into that whole Shaul Hashkafa?
I think it fits into the halashkafa. You're right. David HaMelech was always predestined. In fact, it's our davening every single day as Tzemach David, Malchus based David, etc., etc., etc. We mentioned invention, everything. But David HaMelech's role, as you yourself just pointed out, is purely a spiritual role. That was his function. That was always predestined. David HaMelech is one of the seven Oshpizim, not that I have an understanding in these lofty matters, etc., etc. When Klal Yisrael viewed the role of a melech as very functionary, either mundane matters or lack of emunah b'tochen, that was never, as it were, the plan of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's why Klal Yisrael were criticized.
And yet David was a big gibor mechama, right?
Right. That's also his role, but that's not why you should be requesting the king. Now, let's just make a start. I literally have to go in 2 minutes, but let's just make a start to the next Gemara because this relates to what we said before. We said Klal Yisrael, enter Eretz Yisrael. There are three mitzvahs. Now, we have already explained that the order of those mitzvahs, the way they are performed, is critical. That's exactly what the Gemara is about to discuss now. Says the Gemara, Tanya, Rabbi Yossi Yomer, Shalosh, Mitzvahs, Nitztavu, Yisrael, B'knisoson, La'aretz. Three mitzvahs were instructed to Klal Yisrael when they entered Eretz Yisrael. What are they? Lahamid lohem melech, number one. O lahachris zarei shalamolek, number two. Veliv lois lohem beis abechira, number three. That we've already said. But here the Brisa adds, ve'eini yodea, but I don't at first glance know, eizoi mehem tchilo. Which one comes first? So let's go slowly, Rabbi said. How do I know? Let's not deal for the moment with the order of the mitzvahs. How do I know that these three mitzvahs were instructed to Klal Yisrael upon their entrance to Eretz Yisrael? We'll work out in a minute what the order is. So Rashi already pointed out to us, we saw this last week, because with regard to all of these mitzvahs, the Torah clearly stipulates v'yoshavta or v'yorashta. The Torah clearly writes that when does the mitzvah take effect? When you enter Eretz Yisrael. So that's not the discussion. But what's not necessarily so clear, and that's what the Gemara is discussing, is there a particular order? And that's what the Gemara says. Eini yodea. I don't necessarily know. It's not explicit in the Psukim what the order must be. However, says the Gemara, but now we can work it out. Kershu hu oimer, but when, however, the Torah writes, this is a pasuk at the end of Parshas Beshalach, He yod al keisko milchomo lashem ba'amolek. It describes wiping out Amolek as a milchomo. It doesn't merely say kill Amolek. It describes Amolek as being wiped out in the form of a milchomo. Ah, if that's the case, heve oimer, then I must say, Lahamid lohem melech tchilo. So I by definition know that you have to appoint a king first. Ve'ein kisei elo melech. When it says kiyod al case, kisei is the melech, shenema v'yeshev shlema al kisei Hashem lemelech. So I definitely know that if Amalek have to be wiped out in the form of a mulchama, by definition a mulchama requires a king. Klal Yisrael do not go to war without a king. We mentioned this earlier on. Milchames Mitzvah, Milchames Rishus. Does he have to consult with a Bezin? He does, he doesn't. But either way, it has to be led by a Melech. And therefore, one and one is two. If Amalek are wiped out as a war, number one, and if every war requires a king, well, then by definition, you cannot wipe out Amalek until you've appointed a king. Okay, I have to leave it over here. I'll just leave you with an interesting quiz question. Look at the passage that the Gemara just quoted. Ki, yod, al, kes, ko. Five consecutive words of two letters each. A very rare phenomenon. I challenge you by tomorrow morning to find the other two places. Maybe there's more. I'm aware of two other places in the Torah that this phenomenon exists. Five consecutive words of two letters each.
By the way, Rebbe, the article also says Hashem was upset that they seemed to have tired of Shmuel as their leader. Like they felt Shmuel was insufficient. That's according to the Rambam.
So that was the, right, okay. Fine, okay, you'll excuse me. I must run, but have a wonderful day, and Mitzvah Hashem will reconvene tomorrow.